Hey everyone, this is a bonus episode of the IVMV podcast. Andy and I are here in Arizona for Cubs spring training, and on Tuesday, we had the opportunity to sit down at a pub with the public address announcer for Cubs spring training games, Tim Sheridan. If you've listened to our podcast for a few years, you'll know that Tim is one of our favorite people to talk to, and it was nice to visit with him in person this time. Because it was St. Patrick's Day, and because we were in a pub, there's obviously some background noise, but you will have no problem hearing the conversation, and here it is.
All right, well, we are here at, where are we at?
Brass Tap.
Brass Tap in Mesa, Arizona, with the voice of Sloan Park and Cubs spring training games, and the man behind voiceofspring.com, Tim Sheridan.
Glad to be with you guys, as always.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you again. It seems like we do this every year, and I look forward to it. I like talking to you. I like hearing your voice, because it reminds me of Cubs spring training games.
Well, the talking voice is different than the PA voice. People don't realize that. There's a whole different kind of way of speaking and more authoritative that I use over at the ballpark than just talking here with you guys. So,
well, okay. But since we're sitting in a bar, let's have this be more of a casual conversation.
I'm good with
that. So I was going to jump into things.
Ladies and gentlemen. Okay, casual.
But since you since you brought up your I guess vocal presence at the ballpark, how did you develop that? I think you hear a lot of PA announcers, public address announcers, that have their own vibe. I mean, they each kind of do it their own way. How did you develop yours?
By the seat of my pants, really, because when I got the Cubs PA announcing job was basically 1984. I was at a Mesa Community College radio and TV announcing class, and they asked if anyone wanted to help out for Cubs spring training. And by virtue of the fact that I was very fast at raising my hand, I got to go over to the old Holcomb Stadium. And I didn't know a thing about PA announcing at the time. So I went to all the ball games in the Cactus League at the time, tried to listen to what the other guys were doing. I had been to other ballparks over the years growing up. And so tried to take what I liked, and then what I didn't, I kind of left and developed my own style. And hopefully it's progressed. I think even at this stage, I can get better. I learn different things, so it's just kind of an ongoing process.
Is that something like you go to baseball games? That's what you're listening to?
At times I have, yes. Yeah. I really like to go to baseball games and just enjoy being a fan, but
right.
I can't help myself. You know, I was at the Cubs game in Peoria yesterday, there was several mistakes by the PA announcer. I'm not trying to say anything bad, noticed those
he
things.
He got players wrong a few times.
Yeah.
There were one spot
like,
off in the
right.
lineup.
Like, man, you got to notice that. I'd be mortified, but anyhow, he'll survive.
Yeah.
So now you've been in the new facility a couple of years. Can you comment on just the impact that you've seen that have maybe on the organization or the players specifically, or where the impact you think it'll have, you know, going forward?
The facility is top notch. It's, I think, the best in all of baseball. Other really good facilities here in the Cactus League, teams have to share that facility. The Diamondbacks have a great facility, but they share it with the Rockies. This is all the Cubs, and I talk to players, former players, Fergie Jenkins, people like that. They're amazed at the quality of this facility, Sloan Park, and what it offers, the workout, the you name it. It's the amount of fields they have, everything. They have cameras everywhere so they can monitor what's going on in every field. It's really amazing. And so I think that will definitely help the Cubs. You look at, say, a free agent, and he's thinking about going one place or another. Then you come here, and you're like, wow, this is pretty cool. I'd like to be here. So it's just one part of I think, the whole piece of putting together an incredible
training experience,
Really what it is putting together the whole package of what the Cubs have. You look at, they have a brand new Dominican facility down there that was several million dollars in the making. Wrigley Field is doing the whole renovation facelift. And the Ricketts have basically overseen all of this. So it's really goes to the fact that they're trying to put first-rate facilities together at every level. Right. And that can only be good for the Cubs.
So you kind of mentioned the free agents and kind of trying to maybe lure them in. This is probably, as Wrigley goes through a very long renovation process, this is a place where they can take them and say, okay, see, these are the things that are important to us. These are certain features that we're going to have at Wrigley Field, and hopefully their contract is 2 or 3 years.
Right. Yeah, between now and the time that the Wrigley renovations are finished, I think you're exactly correct on that. So, yeah.
To kind of go along with that, as far as the training facility and what's in the Under Armour, whatever, the training facility, whatever they call that. How does that compare to what they had before? We know they don't have much at Wrigley, but compared to what they had at the old ballpark here in Mesa, I guess I'm wondering how that is going to also impact the future of the organization.
Well, if you're talking about like the difference between Fitch Park and Ho-Com, which was you had two separate facilities, which was really a drawback as opposed to having an all-in-one facility like they have now. It's just they had to call players up from a half a mile away, which is never conducive to. You want everybody together. You want to be able to go through all of your workouts together, be able to oversee all that. It's just, from a convenience standpoint, it's great.
So how can you, staying on the facility just for a little bit longer, you live here in the area, how is the facility being used year-round? We hear a lot about it around spring training time, but are they able to do more year-round now than they were at Fitch?
They are. As a matter of fact, the City of Mesa had a vote and ended up basically paying for $100 million of this Cubs facility. So I heard arguments against that, saying that it's used 1 month out of the year. That couldn't be further from the truth. It's Sloan Park is used for the Cubs Rookie League, which goes through the summer. And yes, they play baseball when it's 115 degrees in the daytime. We play at night, so it goes down to about 107. A wonderfully comfortable 107. You know, it's dry heat. But then you have the Fall League, which basically starts up not long after the Rookie League. And you have instructional leagues. You have, this whole facility is used basically year-round. So you have college tournaments that go on here. We had the Big 12 Pac-12 tournament not long ago that was played here.
Didn't you do PA for that?
I did PA for that too. That was great. My nephew, who is a high school pitcher for Gilbert High School here in Arizona, has played probably 3 or 4 tournaments at Sloan Park. So I got to see my nephew pitch.
That's awesome.
And then go over and watch Manny Ramirez hit last year when he was just brought into the Cubs organization again. So how cool is that?
Yeah, so I mean, really, you know, I think a lot of people may have been critical of the fact that the taxpayer money went to this facility, but it is benefiting the community.
Right, and there's a new hotel that's being finished off right by the ballpark, and it's going to fill out. There's really going to be a commercial hub around that will have bars, restaurants, food, all of the kind of things that you see in Wrigleyville here. It'll be a kind of a mini Wrigleyville, right. Wrigleyville West, if you will.
So, I don't know, because you've been here since the beginning of camp, and speaking specifically about this year's camp, are there any players that have stood out to you as being particularly hungry or sharp out of the gate? I mean, just anything that you've noticed on the baseball side of things with the players?
Yeah, I have noticed several things. One is, I think the acquisition of Miguel Montero is going to prove to be bigger than people think, mainly because I had a chance to hear him talk and tell about what he does in terms of getting ready for the season, how he prepares, how much video he watches, how he works with young pitchers, how he tries to get to know everyone and know their strengths and weaknesses. I think he is a very sharp guy, and yes, he'll probably give you a certain amount when he's hitting, but I think beyond that, it's his intelligence, and he's a leader. What I can see right now, he's a leader that will help a young team, and that's kind of one of those pickups that maybe is not like the big headline John Lester or Joe Maddon, but I think could pay big dividends down the road. So he's one of the guys, definitely.
We've heard multiple people say that since we got out here. We've heard people say that yeah. He is a bigger signing than it seems.
Yeah. Some of the young kids, obviously, I can't say enough about Chris Bryant. It's like, I'm just like crossing my fingers, knocking on wood. I mean, this kid is just the real deal. He has such a natural, fluid swing with being 6'5" and such a big kid that what would be fly ball outs for most players, they carry and they go out. That's why he hit 43 home runs in the minor leagues last year. So it's just a matter of when we see him up at Wrigley. So Addison Russell, another young kid that I've been extremely impressed with. His defense is outstanding. He's a good hitter, has a little pop to his bat. So those are a few of the guys. I could go on and on, but
well, let's kind of stay with that. I mean, what you've seen Cubs spring training for years and years. As far as like, let's look like 2 or 3 years back. Are there any players that at the time you weren't quite sure about, or maybe they weren't on your radar, and then now maybe not even necessarily big league guys, but just guys in the organization that maybe this year they've kind of stood out to you, and now you are paying more attention to?
Matt Caesar is one of the guys who had a couple really nice plays. Unfortunately, he couldn't catch one of them because he was busy planting his face into the chain link fence out there. But he stayed in, and then he makes another great catch the very next play, almost identical.
I know.
I mean, this kid is a gamer. You know, it was a kid who played football at Villanova. From what I heard, Matt loves guys who have played multiple sports because they have a different mindset than guys who just, you know, played baseball all their lives. He was an outstanding football player, and I think he, as you could see when he crashed in the fence today, he brings that attitude. He steals bases. He's starting to hit some home runs, which I kind of wondered if he would, and he hasn't in the minor leagues so much yet, but I think he will. He's already got 3 of them right now this spring. It seems to, some guys develop power a little bit later. I think he might be one of those guys. So, yeah.
Well, I was reading the site, and I liked in your article about Cubs U, about how you connected the original, where the name the Cubs came from, you know, stemming from the youth of the players in the very early 1900s, and then connecting that to today, you know, this team really is the Cubs, you know, with all the youth they have and all the players.
They are, especially, you know, you look at Jorge Soler and Chris Bryant, all these guys, they really are. And as Cubs fans, we know that we can't get too excited just yet, because then we'll just get slapped in the face like you wouldn't believe. So it's always cautious optimism. That's the way I try and approach things. But I've never seen anything like the Cubs minor league system that they have now. And of course, all the publications are saying it's number one, and 3-4 years ago, before Theo Epstein got on board, it wasn't anywhere on the radar,
right,
so it's just a big change. And the first spring that Theo was here, he was at Fitch Park, and I saw he was there. He was just watching kind of where the fans are, so I walked up to him. We had a conversation, and from that day on, I knew kind of his mindset, which was, it's all about the numbers, and that's what it is, because prospects are not all going to pay off and become big league stars. So the more prospects you have in the pipeline, the better chances you have of X, Y, and Z guy paying off, and you know, others don't. So it's really a numbers game, and it's about, you know, battle of attrition. How many of those guys can make it up and make that step from the big league to the big league level? Because it is a big step. And even a guy like Javier Baez, who's been amazing at the lower levels, just dominating, now is struggling. You know, once he got up to the big leagues last year, so he's going to have to readjust and see if he can make that leap.
Right.
So people can you tell us what about the site a little bit and what people can find on there? And
the Boys of Spring?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about the Cubs during spring training, and my particular slant on what's going on and what I've seen at the games. And I've got a guy by the name of John Antonoff who does some photography for the website, and he's outstanding. So you get a lot of great pictures, game photographs, photographs just in practice. Yeah, so you can get anything. I it's not the all-in-one Cubs baseball website, fan website. It's more or less dedicated to spring training, and I'll blog a few times during the season, but I'm unlike you guys. You know, you're dedicated, you're going to podcast. I have to actually kind of, after spring training, go back to work and focus on all these other things. And plus, you know, I live in Arizona, so when I'm down here and the rookie league's going on, if I can get photographs, video, and talk about that, I will, because I'm connected to that. I'm seeing it firsthand, and I think that's the important part. That's what I like to give, is the firsthand stuff that I see.
Yeah. Well, it's just a great website for this time of year especially. I mean, I know around middle of February, I'm like, okay, got to check out Boys of Spring. I get to work, I got to look at Boys
cool.
of Spring.
Glad you feel that way. That's
yeah,
great.
Like one thing you guys, it's fantastic. The photos that both you and John take are really great. So I would encourage fans to check it out, because it really does give a great glimpse into what spring training is all about.
Especially awesome. At the time of the year when we're hungry for baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. So before we finish up here, what's your prediction for 2015 for these Cubs?
Oh, you want to put me on the spot. On St. Patrick's Day. Normally I like to wait until the end of the spring before I make a prediction, because we've got a couple more weeks and anything could happen between now and then. But barring injuries, God forbid, I'm looking at a improvement, but I don't. There's a lot of people who say, "Oh, this is the Cubs' year. This is the World Series." Well, that would be awesome.
Right.
I mean, sure. Great. I hope it is. I don't know that we're there yet, because it's a process, and I would think that a good place to shoot for is making the playoffs. If they can get 10 to 12, 13 more wins this year than last year, I think that's the area we're shooting for, and that's probably what I would predict. The pitching staff's better. You know, we've got Lester, Arrieta's like kind of came into his own last year. Hendricks is one of those guys who, you know, we could talk about that just seems to have great command and presence beyond his years. So I'm looking at, you know, if we can get a dozen more wins this year, I think that would be a great stepping stone. Anything better than that, awesome, and potentially playoffs. And if you get into the playoffs, anything's possible, and who knows?
Yep. Yeah. All right, Tim. Well, thanks for talking with us. Thanks for having a few drinks with us.
My pleasure. Hey, it's St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. You got to have an Irish beer.
That's right. All right. Thank you very much.
You bet.